sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. I am thankful to believe that you are praying for me as I stand before you. And I know there's a great God in heaven who hears the prayers and the calls and the cries of his children. His ear is not stopped that he cannot hear and cannot see and know exactly what we stand in need of tonight. And I do believe that you are a praying people, and that gives me a great consolation as I stand before you. I do need your prayers that the Lord would be honored and praised, and that you, his children, might be fed from the Word of God. And that's my desire tonight, if I know my heart, is to share with you just for a little while the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. I'd be lying to you if I would tell you I wasn't tired. I'm feeling a bit of the effects of traveling and being at the meeting, and though it's been a good time and a wonderful and a good kind of tired even, I am feeling some of the effects of that tonight, and I hope the Lord will just remove that out of the way. And of course, if it continues to be a problem, I may not be before you very long. And like I've said before, that sometimes some of you are going, uh-oh, when he says that, that's not necessarily a good sign. So just above everything, pray that the good Lord would bless us for the little time we spend together. Enjoyed the hymns that had been selected. Felt like they fed my heart, my soul. Sweet, sweet prayer, Brother Mike. I thank God for that. And know where that comes from. It comes from the Lord. But thankful for you, and thankful for the work of grace that I see in you and what the Lord has done there and allowed us to appreciate the verse that you shared with us tonight. Also, if it was not for the revealing of the Spirit of Almighty God to us, we would not know anything about truth. We'd have no understanding of the truth. But because of what the Lord has given us and shown us, we are able not only to see it and to know it, but to understand it. And I pray the Lord gives us strength to walk in it. That's really what I want to talk about tonight, the Lord being my helper. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you beginning at the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I want to begin reading right at verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to begin tonight by reading four verses. And I don't know how far we'll go after that, but I want to look at these first four verses. And if the Lord would bless us just for a little while to focus on them. There's more here than could be preached in a lifetime, much less in one time before the Lord's people. But we have to depend upon the Lord for that. So just pray for me that the Lord would be with me. Hear the writings of the wise man Solomon. He says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." If you read over in the very first chapter of the book of Proverbs, you'll see who's doing the writings here and what we have before us. It tells us that the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And reading over in, I believe it is in the book of, well, I may not be able to find it. Might not be able to find it right now. Give me a second. Solomon was blessed to write many proverbs. And he was blessed with great wisdom. God gave him the wisdom to write the things that are recorded in God's word. And as we're reading this, we're reading the words of Solomon, who was given the wisdom to write them. And yet, it's not just the words of Solomon that we have written here. We have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon wouldn't have had any wisdom. And the wisdom that Solomon had was given to him by the Holy Spirit. It was a movement of God. He wrote as he was moved of God. And what we have before us tonight are not just the writings of a wise man, but it's the inspired word of God, that which God has left on record for us. And he tells us there in that first chapter that he left this on record for us. I believe it's, let's look at 1 Kings. I believe that's where I want to look. Chapter 4. There we are. 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 29. It says, and God gave Solomon wisdom. That's the part I wanted. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. It wasn't just a little wisdom. And largeness of heart. God worked in the heart of Solomon. He gave him wisdom. He gave him largeness of heart. And how much? Even as the sand that is on the seashore. So that shows you the wisdom that the man Solomon had. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman and Chalcol and Darda and the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. I wanted to get that. He spake 3,000 proverbs. Now, not all of those are recorded. We don't, you know, there's quite a few that are recorded, but not all of them. And some of them that he wrote, though he was blessed, some of them were especially blessed because they were inspired and left in the canon of Scripture. We have them left on record for us to teach us and instruct us. And that came from the Lord. And his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. And remember over in the New Testament when Jesus came and talked about the Queen of the South, she'll rise up in judgment against this generation because she heard the wisdom of Solomon and saw and understood it and was blessed by it. And a greater than Solomon is here. I wanted us to see tonight from all of this, as wonderful and as blessed as Solomon was, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in comparison to Solomon, a greater than Solomon is here. We have not just the words of Solomon, but the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're talking about. So the authority on which we're speaking tonight is not just what other men wrote. That's important. Because you'll have a lot of people that will come up to you and say, why do you trust the Bible any more than any other book? It's just written by a bunch of old men that have passed and gone. And that they wrote about things in that time and that day that might have meant something to them. But why would you have any confidence in it? This is God's inspired word that's been given by inspiration of God. We read that over in 2 Timothy. I know I've quoted, but let's read it tonight together. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13, he says this, and this is certainly true in the day and age in which we're living, and it's true in the day and age in which the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy. In chapter 3, in verse 13, he says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You get discouraged sometimes because of all of the misinformation and all the stuff that's out there in this world. We're not getting closer to God as the world, so to speak, talks. We're getting worse and worse. And the Bible tells us that. It says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So don't be alarmed by that. Don't be shocked by that. The Bible tells us that will be the case. But then he says they're deceiving and being deceived. So they're wrapped up in that deception themselves, and they're out deceiving others. And even many of God's little children get wrapped up in that. What I'm thankful to know is that doesn't change them from being God's little children. It just robs them of their joy and their peace and their rest. The very thing that I read about that they should be enjoying in trusting and looking to the Lord and walking in His truth. He goes on, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." So tonight I want to encourage us to just continue in the things which we have learned. Now, what things that we've learned? The things that have come from the Word of God, that came from a greater than Solomon, that came from the Lord Jesus Christ. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back over in Proverbs 3, he said, "My son," here Solomon is writing in this proverb to a son of his, to a child of his, but more importantly, remember, this is the Word of God. So it's written to us as God's little children who are sons, not because we made ourselves sons, but because He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. We are a chosen generation. 1 Peter tells us that ye are a chosen generation. Now, chosen means He elected us. He made choice of us. Generation means He generated us. He regenerated us. He gave us life. We didn't get life on our own. He gave us life. And all of us have that fellowship and that relationship that's in that work of the new birth that's done in our lives. He's given us life. And if you be risen with Christ, there are some things for us to do. That is to seek those things which are above. And he says, "My son, little child of grace," he could have said right here. He says, "Forget not my law." Now, what's he talking about? Is he just talking about the Mosaic law that was given? Well, that was part of that. We're not to forget. It's part of the Old Testament. It's part of the canon of Scripture, the Old Testament. But not just what's in the Old Testament. He's talking about the doctrine and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to forget that. Tonight, we don't want to forget that. I want to remember that. That's why it's good to come back to the church to be reminded of what you already have known. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, "I preach to you that which you have already received and wherein you stand, which you have been believed and by which you are saved." He said, "If you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain." This is important for us tonight to remember the good news of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. That helps us to know that we are a chosen generation, that we are His chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. That means He gave us a duty and a responsibility in this world to be priests unto God. We don't come in to offer up animal sacrifices like they did in the old law covenant, but tonight you came to this house to offer up sacrifices, which is the fruit of your lips, praise and honor and glory given unto the Lord. And we are to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And with such sacrifices, the Lord is well pleased. He's thankful. The Lord is pleased. It's a sweet-smelling savor to Him tonight when God's little children meet in this simple way and we pray and we preach and we sing together and we have fellowship with one another and we talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, and we remind one another of how great things that He has done. That's what he means by "but continue thou." No matter what the world is doing, I'm back over in 2 Timothy 3, 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Can we be sure of tonight of the things that we've learned? Can we be sure that that's true? Can we be sure that Jesus, when he came, he died for his people on the tree of the cross? Can we be assured that when he died, he paid the sin debt for all of them? Can we be sure that when he went to the grave, that he came forth the third day, a resurrected Savior, and in him we have life and life abundant? Can we be sure of the things that are written in God's Word? I said to you, absolutely we can, because it's the inspired Word of God. We wouldn't even know that if the Lord hadn't given us that understanding in our hearts by His Spirit. But we also have the Word. Isn't it good tonight to be able to go to His Word and read from His Word and share that with one another? Even though these are things you've heard many times, He says, "Those things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of," He says, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now, how did we learn these? Where did these come from? Someone would say it came from the apostles, and that would be partially true. The apostles wrote these things, but how did the apostles write these things? They were first given unto them by Christ. We can read that over in the book of Hebrews. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." Now, what things? The things that are written in God's Word. The things which have been preached. And we should give heed to them. We've heard them. We've embraced them. We've received them. We believe them. But we want to hold on to them. And he says, "Lest at any time we should let them slip." Does that mean we can let them slip? I believe it does. How can we let them slip? It won't change what Jesus did. It won't. Us not embracing the gospel and believing the gospel and holding to the gospel won't change the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and everyone that he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, those whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. None of that will change. But I sure need to believe that tonight. I need to rest in that. When I'm feeling like I sometimes feel, and tonight have felt especially so, a little discouraged along the way, I want to remember that I have a great King, and I have a great ally. I have a great friend. I have a friend in Jesus who can help me in the storms, and when I'm down and when I'm depressed, I can go to Him and I can lean upon Him and I can trust in Him and know that He will always hold me up and lift me up. And even when I don't even feel any better, you still feel better. I know that's hard to explain, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We have Him to trust in tonight. It's not in me, it's not in you, it's in Him. And there's a great consolation and a great peace in my heart because of that. He said in Hebrews 2, he says we should, at least at any time, we should let them slip. What he's saying here is these things are so very important. What we're talking about tonight is important. You know, sometimes we get information in this world and we think it's important, and it's not really important at all. We think we absolutely needed that, and it doesn't last very long. As a matter of fact, what you heard today that goes along pretty good might change tomorrow as far as the information in the world. But tonight, we're talking about something that's not going to change, that's going to last and it's going to endure, and it's going to be good for you and good for your health. It's going to be good for your mental health. It's going to be good for your emotional health. It's going to be good for your physical health. It's going to be good for your spiritual health. It's going to be good for your spiritual well-being. If you build your house upon this rock, that is the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the storms come, and they are sure to come, your house will stand. And that's true for this church. It's true for our individual lives and our individual houses. As we, as God's children, who are a chosen generation. That's how much the Lord loved you. He chose you in covenant before the foundation of the world. You are a royal priesthood. That means you've been made kings and priests unto God. Kings in the sense that you have some power and control over your own body, where before you did not have that. We could not rule. This body ruled me. I didn't rule it. I couldn't keep my body under subjection. I couldn't bring it into a place where it had to obey and be obedient. And by my own power, I don't have that tonight. If I think I can do anything on my own, the Bible says if we think we can do anything, we can do nothing without the Lord. But we can do all things, can't we? Through Christ, which strengthens us. So He's given us that authority, and He's given us that ability to even keep our bodies in subjection so that we can walk better and talk better and live better in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And that's so vitally important. Sometimes we think, why is it so important how I live and how I act? I'm just a little nothing. You're not just a little nothing. You're a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You know what that means? That means He took our sins from us and placed Him upon the Father took our sins from us and placed them on His own darling Son. And there Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And we have a duty and a responsibility, even as a little assembly here, and as individuals as we go out into this world. Ye are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And you have been made that in order that you would show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. It's important tonight what we're doing here. To just lift up our voices together and sing how great Thou art and how an amazing grace and how sweet the name of Jesus sounds and all those hymns. The Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. And I'll tell you, in this world, it's so full of all things going wrong. I know I need a dose of it tonight. I know I'll need it on Wednesday night. I'll need it next Sunday. I don't want to miss any of those times. And I encourage you, every opportunity that you can, to attend the house of God and to sit among the children of God. He said a day in His courts is better than 1,000. That's length of days. When we're living in this world and each day is valuable. You see, I don't want you to just miss though, waiting for next Sunday to come. Because tomorrow is going to be valuable too. There are some things that we need to be about in order to enjoy the rest and the peace and the fullness of the every day that the Lord has given us. He says in Hebrews 2, He said, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," what that meant is, the law was very clear and very plain, and if you broke the law, it was a transgression, and the wage for the transgression, the wages of sin, is death. And the word, when that was given, the Lord wasn't playing when He gave the law. No, He gave the law. And the law, it was the law and the breaking of the law by us that caused our darling Savior to have to leave the heights of heaven and come to this earth and take upon Himself a body of flesh and be made like unto us so that He could go and die for us and pay the sin debt for us. How we broke the law. He didn't break the law, but He had to pay the price. We sang that hymn, did we not? He paid the price. He bore our portion. He died. Thank the Lord that He loved us enough that He would die in our room instead and pay the price. The word that was spoken by angels was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That means God didn't forget one sin. He's forgotten them in the sense against us. They're not remembered against us anymore. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. But the price had to be paid in order for that to happen. He didn't just forget about it. Jesus had to pay the price. You see what I'm saying? It cost our Savior His very life. All the agony and the pain that happened on the tree of the cross was because of my sins and your sins. How much we ought to hate the sin that is so much entrenched in our lives. It caused all that the suffering of our Savior, which would have been ours. But here's the good news. He bore that. He endured it. He fulfilled the righteousness. He fulfilled the law. He kept the law. He suffered. He paid the price. He removed the transgression. He died. And he went, the wages of sin being death, He died. But He didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day. And He's seated on the right hand of the Father, which is in heaven. And because of that wonderful truth, tonight you and I have been set free. Not free to live any old way, but free to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This salvation I just mentioned, can we neglect it in the sense that it wouldn't be ours? No, he's not talking about that. But we can neglect it in the sense that we don't remember it, we don't think about it, we don't praise God for it, we're not thankful for it, we get wrapped up in the thoughts of this world, we don't wear it, we don't put it on, we don't remember that truth, we don't keep it in the forefront of our minds, we don't remind one another of it, we let it slip. And that's why we need preaching and encouragement from one another to remember how great things the Lord has done for us. He says, now, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? So the apostles gave it to us, but where did they get it from? They got it from the Lord. He gave it to them. And then they were confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That's the apostles. And then they're written in God's word. He says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. This is how we can be assured that the things we have heard are the truth. It's been confirmed with miraculous signs that were given by Almighty God. He goes on and tells the young preacher Timothy in verse 15. I'm kind of scattered all over the place tonight. I hope you're following along, but I hope it's fitting together to some degree. He says, and I'm 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It seems like Brother Timothy must have been worked on by the Holy Spirit even from a child. Because see, you can't just teach a child these things. You can teach them, but they won't see them. They won't know them. They won't understand them. And that he may have been trained up in them. But at some point, the Lord had to enlighten his eyes. Brother Mike read that tonight. It takes the Lord to open up the eyes and the heart and the understanding. That has to come from the Lord. And when the Lord opens up the eyes and the heart and the understanding, you're able to see. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Notice what the Scriptures do. They make you wise unto salvation. The Scriptures save you in the sense that they make you wise unto salvation. What does that mean? It tells you how you're saved. It tells you who died for you. It tells us who your salvation is. It declares Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, and it's done through faith. Now, faith is not just something a man grabs a hold of and starts doing. You just don't on your own start faithing, start believing. You've got to be given faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So in the new birth, the Lord gives us faith, which enables us when we hear the gospel to embrace the gospel and believe the gospel. But then it's important for us to continue in faith and remember the gospel and don't let it slip. Listen, children, we can let it slip. We so easily let it slip. How quickly can we let it slip? It won't change the reality of the truth, but it'll sure rob you. The old devil can rob you, can't he, of your joy and your rest and your peace. The old devil can fill you with doubts and fears and worry, and over the littlest thing. It can be, many times he doesn't come with some great big thing. He comes with some little thing that you think, oh, well, why would that bother me? Well, the old devil just puts it there and we bite on it. We just go after it. And then it just becomes so overwhelming that that's all we can think about. Our mind and our thoughts are consumed with worrying about something that really is in the hands, listen, our lives are in the hands of a God who has chosen us before the foundation of the world. You are a chosen generation. You belong to Him. And he says, and Timothy, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. And notice that the salvation is in Christ and the faith is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Every good thing is in Christ. Somebody said, well, it really doesn't matter if you believe in Christ or not, as long as you believe in God. Listen, there is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can know the Son without the Father. No man can know the Father without the Son. And these three, Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And brethren, and that's the truth that we're to hold and cherish. And don't let anybody rob you of those of that understanding, of that peace and that rest you have in knowing the truth. And where do we find that truth? He says in verse 16, all Scripture. I believe this is talking about the Old Testament primarily, because at the writing of this, some of the New Testament has not been written. But it's also the New Testament, because everything that's in the Bible, that's in God's Word, is part of this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it. Though I read from the writings of Solomon, God breathed it. If we'd have read Psalm 23, David wrote it, but God breathed it. If we read in the book, writings of the book of the writings of Moses, the five books of Moses, Moses penned those things down, but God gave it to Moses. When I read the writings of the Apostle Paul, Paul wrote it, but God moved him to write it. John and Luke and Matthew and Mark, all those writings. And when you read the book and you begin to study it and you search it, you'll be more and more convinced of that as a little child of God, as the Spirit of God allows you to understand what the truth is. Now, if the Lord isn't in the matter, you won't see anything more in that than you will in any other book. As a matter of fact, it's hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. A natural man can't see it, can't know it, can't understand it, and he won't see it, and he won't know it, and he won't understand it. He can't, and he won't. But God, by His grace, has allowed us. Isn't that a special blessing tonight? That God, by His grace, has allowed this little body of what few believers we have here in person and the few that are online. Tonight, we've been blessed by Almighty God in a world that's so confused and going such an ungodly, untoward way. We've been blessed to know there's a Savior who's in control and on His throne, and one day we'll be safe with Him in heaven in immortal glory, and He will not lose one of His children. And in time, I can trust Him with my life. I can trust Him with my family. I can trust Him on my job. If you had a job, I could trust Him with my job. I can trust Him in whatever I'm facing in this world. I can trust Him as I'm coming into a pulpit and feel completely empty and blank. And trust Him to be able to give me what I need to feed a little congregation of people who come in here tonight, and I have no clue what you need or what you might be on your mind or what might be on your heart. But I know this, God knows. And if we leave it in the Lord's hands, it'll be all right if I don't say a word. It'll be all right as we trust and lean upon Him. How do I know that it'll be all right? Because Solomon said so. And it's not just because Solomon said it. It's because Jesus said it. It's because it was given by inspiration of God. And if I'm able to preach it, it's by the Holy Spirit that I'm able to preach it. And if you're able to hear it, it's by the Holy Spirit that you're able to hear it. So it's not just a man talking to a man or a woman. It's the work of Almighty God. It's a wonderful blessing to have the poor have the gospel preached to them. I thought about that during the preaching of the gospel this weekend. What a miraculous event it was just to have God's little children. Even though there's some in the world would look at that little handful of people gathering in that little building over at Union and think, why in the world was that little bunch there gathering there? And what do they think they're accomplishing? And I'm telling you, no more important event was happening in the United States of America or across the world than that little gathering of people. It's the salt of the earth. You say, well, is that true of us tonight? You believe that tonight? I do. I believe the God of heaven is pleased when His little children... And I believe just a few people can spare. Isn't that what He told about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? If there was just a few, then He would spare the city. How many did it take? He cut it down over and over. Was it 10? And just that many. And so you have no idea what influence you might have tonight on this town, in the community that you're in. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, not because you're something in and of yourself, but because we have a captain of the Lord's host who has all power. And you and I ought to be on our knees praying for our nation. I know I don't pray enough. Sometimes I think, well, maybe it's just so far gone, there's no reason to pray. Listen, that's when it's really time to pray. And you pray for our little churches. You pray that the Lord would bless us to have more of His little children come and gather when we meet on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning. You pray that the Lord would fill our hearts with zeal so that we realize how good He's been to us. So that our hearts would be so filled with love, we'd be like that little woman that would do anything to get to Jesus and wash His feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and be able to just show Him the love that He's worthy of and the praise that He ought to have. And I don't want to just show up and go through the motions of a meeting. I want to feel Him. I want to know that I belong to Him. I want to know that he loved me, and that He died for me, and have peace and rest in my heart about that. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I love the word profitable. It means it's good for you. It's good for what ails you. That's what the writer, and I'll get to those verses here in a second. He says it's profitable for reproof. For reproof, that is to have criticism. Sometimes we get criticized. We don't like being criticized. We don't want anyone to criticize us. But if you're going to read the Bible, you're going to find yourself being criticized. We need to be criticized sometimes. Lovingly, yes. From the Word of God, yes. Not cruelly or unkindly, but out of love, we need to help one another and instruct one another. We need some reproving. Where do we get that from? It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction in righteousness. And it's good that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly perfected unto all good works. This is where we find the commandments that we're to keep. These are the words of Jesus. And when we hear them and when we do them, we're likened unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when we hear them and we don't do them, we're likened unto a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. I'd love to be able to tell you tonight, I've always been the man building my house on the rock. But I'll tell you what, I've got too many times the house was falling down to tell you that. Sometimes I've built it on some very faulty ground. What I thought at the time was the right way, but I wasn't trusting in the Lord. I was leaning on my own understanding. That's what he's telling us over in Proverbs 3. I'm going to just probably read the text and get out of the way. He says, my son, forget not my law. In other words, don't forget his doctrine. Don't forget his teachings. Don't forget what Jesus has done for you. Don't forget what that means we ought to be about as his little children. When we walk out in this world, let's remember who we are and what the Lord has required of us because of his great blessings of what he's given. As much has been given to you, and as the Bible teaches, where much is given, there's much required. That means it's not that you're paying back. We can never, and without grace, we can't do any of this. But by grace, we walk in a way that's pleasing to him. He goes on and he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Notice it's not just your hands keeping his commandments or your feet keeping his commandments. It's about your heart. Where's your heart tonight? You know, it's important for our heart to be in the right place. Our desire ought to be about the right thing. It's not just doing this or doing that. It's doing it for the right reason. And why is it that we ought to be here tonight? Because we love the Lord. And we love the Lord because He first loved us. We remember how great things He has done for us. And out of gratitude, it causes us to love Him. Why did the little woman come to the feet of Jesus to wash His feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and anoint his feet with an alabaster box of ointment? Why did she do that? Because She had been forgiven much. And because she had been forgiven much, she loved much. She did it because she loved Him. She wanted to be with Him because she loved Him. Why are we here tonight? Why are we a part of this church? It ought to be because we love Him. And we love Him because of what He did first for us. And when we... That's what He's talking about here when He says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee." In other words, the commandments are not going to hurt you. They're going to help you. What do? They give you a day in His courts better than 1,000. They make each day of, you know, sometimes we're just putting in time existing when we're getting through, trying to get to next week. It's not really living, but when we walk with Him during the course of our day and we're in His Word and we're praying and we're looking to the Lord and we're praying for our brethren and we're about our Father's business, every day is a wonderful day, a blessed day. You'll be tired at the end of the day. It isn't that you won't be tired, but it'll be a good time. He says, "For length of days and long life," and I love this word, "and peace shall they add unto thee." He said, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." I don't want to forget His mercy towards me. And I want that to remind me to be merciful unto my brethren. To remember to show forgiveness as He's forgiven me. To show love as He's loved me. To do unto them as He's done unto me. How He's treated me, we're to treat one another. And I'll tell you, you'll have a close-knit family if you operate in that. If you use that as your guide, it'll keep your family close together. It'll keep your husbands will love the and that, and the scripture says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Is He the example? And gave His life for it. And wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. It's not hard to do that when the husband's loving his wife as the wife as Christ loved the church. It fits. And the commandments then all fit when we see it in the light of the love of God and the mercy of God. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." When He says, "Let it not forsake thee," that means we can let it forsake us. Not that God's mercy will leave us, or that His love will ever change, or His truth will ever change. It's that we don't remember it. We let it slip. He says, "Bind them about thy neck." Kind of like putting on a necklace to remind you of something. I've seen people do that. You know, either have a ring there on the neck or some heirloom given from a parent or a loved one, and they wear it remembering that one, and it means a lot to them. Well, here He's telling us to put the truth there. In other words, I want to keep the truth right there. What is it? Why would you put it there? So you can see it. And not only you can see it, but others can see it. In other words, it's not just the truth that you have in your head, but it's wrapped around your neck. It's visible. It's what you put on. It's putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to wear it. You can read about it in Romans 13 and also in Ephesians chapter 4. You'll see in Romans 13 and Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about putting on the new man. It talks about how we live differently and act differently and behave differently, not as we used to behave before the Lord dealt with us. It's talking about wearing mercy and truth every day that you live and the way that you deal with one another. Not only the brethren in the church, that seems to be pretty easy for us most of the time. Not that we always get that right. We don't want to take one another for granted. But it's everyone you meet. You know, and sometimes it seems to be a whole lot harder for me to show mercy and to operate in the truth when someone's not acting and behaving in a way that I think they ought to act and behave. And what I need to remember is, how has the Lord dealt with me? When He dealt with me, how was I acting? How was I behaving? What was I doing? When He found me, where was I? I was in a waste, howling wilderness. I was dead in trespasses and in sins, and the Lord dealt with me in His mercy and in His grace. And I am duty bound to respond in the world that I'm living in a way that gives honor and glory to God because of what He's done for me. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck." And I like this one. He says, "Write them upon the table of thine heart." Now, the Lord is the first one who writes them in your heart. If He doesn't write them in your heart, they're not going to be there. Jeremiah 31 tells us He wrote the laws upon our hearts and upon our mind. And we no longer need to teach any man to know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And he's written this already there. So how in the world do we write them? We remember what he's written there in our hearts, and we copy them. In other words, we just write them over and over again. We remind each other over and over again what I'm trying to do tonight. We remember what he's put in your heart. We want to remember that. I need to copy that each day. I need to keep that in my mind and in my heart each day. I don't want to forget these things. I don't want to let them slip. He says, write them upon the table of thine heart. What heart? The heart the Lord put in. That circumcised heart. That heart of flesh that he's put there. And he says, verse 4, he says, so shalt thou find favor. That word favor means grace. Now, can you find grace? Absolutely. How do you find grace? In the pathway of duty, you find grace. In the pathway. Now, how can you walk in the pathway that he's called you to walk? You have to have grace to find grace. In other words, you got to have grace in order to find grace. But when you do what the Lord would have you to do, when a little brother takes up his cross and follows his Lord in baptism, he finds grace. He finds grace in it. He doesn't find grace because of it. He doesn't do something to get something in response. But in doing what God tells you to do, you'll find blessings. Have you found blessings in doing what God tells you to do? When God moves you in your heart to do something and you do it, have you found favor in that? In other words, you feel that word of God in your heart saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it gives you peace and rest. Now that's not something you get because of it. It's something you get in doing what you ought to do anyway. What the Lord tells us to do. Here's what he says. He says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding. In my margin of the Bible, that says understanding means good success. You want to be successful. This is the way to be successful in this world. As a little child of grace. Listen, we can't go the way of the world and find success. Even if we find success, what does it profit us? If we gain all the world and lose our own soul. A little child of God will find good success as he trusts in the Lord. And he leans not on his own understanding. And in all his ways he acknowledges him. And he will direct our path. And we'll find good understanding in the sight of God, which is most important, isn't it? Now, in other words, if you're all right with the Lord, everything's okay. But not only that, the Lord is able to make us to have good understanding or good success even among men. And I ask you, has he not been good to you? Has he not taken care of us? He's taken care of our little church. We need to be never presumptuous, though, that we don't need anything. We don't need him any longer. We need him at every meeting. Each time you come, come praying that the Lord would just bless the pastor with the ability to preach. Every who stands before you. Pray that the Lord would bless the brethren who come to pray with a spirit of prayer. That it comes from the heart. Pray that our singing might, it doesn't have to be right on key or right on pitch. But pray that we'll be singing from the heart praises unto the Lord. And it'll be all about honoring God. Pray that everything that's done will be about honoring God. Pray that when we hug one another's neck, we can see it just like we're hugging our Lord. Because it's the closest thing you'll ever get to hugging him in this world is when you reach out and hug one of his little children. Because he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. Well, that means good things, but it also means anything that isn't that way. So may the Lord bless us to be faithful, to be steadfast, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that work is a work of grace. If without grace working in us, we can't work. And in working in the grace that's in us, we'll find grace along the way. His grace is sufficient. His grace will be supplied. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. Feel like I've been really scattered, but I hope the Lord has put some of it together to be of some benefit to you. If it is, give the Lord the praise. All the other, you know who to charge that to. And I appreciate your love and your compassion and your prayers. God bless you.